What's up, people? Welcome back to the 360 Places podcast. This is episode number 45. And in the house, we blessed with one. I wanted to give a very long introduction, but I'm going to spare you guys with a lot of details because we're going to talk about all of that in this episode. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about studying abroad. And we have one person who is very qualified to talk about that topic, and that is Winnie Gatlav Msamba. Hey.
I like how you say my second name.
For real?
Yeah. No, most people think it's Good Love.
Oh, they think it's Good Love.
Yeah, which is very weird. But
yeah, that's weird. It's supposed to be God. Like, you gotta put God in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's supposed to be agape.
Hallelujah.
Unconditional.
Yeah.
So do you love your second name?
I love my second name. I love it.
Would you call your son that?
No, but I just love it for my dad. I feel like it holds so much meaning. So
yeah. And I say Tanzanians don't have this habit of, you know, fusing two names together.
Yeah,
this is mostly Kenyans.
Yeah. But if I had a choice, I would have. Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
God and love. That's really good. So I feel like I should give you a minute to talk, just to give a little bit, you know, of yourself. Then, you know, we'll get right into it.
Okay. This is my first time doing a podcast, so.
You're welcome. How does it feel?
I know.
How does
it feel? It feels really great. I'm truly honored and happy to be here. And I don't know how to introduce myself. I don't know how long it should be or how short it's going to be. Yeah. But I'm going to keep it as short as possible. So like you said, my name is Winnie Gatlav Msamba. I usually call myself Winnie Msamba in most occasions because I just like my surname. Yeah. And I'm currently a student at USAU Africa. And I am in my second year. And I'm studying international relations and minoring in psychology. And what else? I'm a woman of many interests, but my interest lies in humanity, tech entrepreneurship, entrepreneurship in general, and everything that deals with development. Yeah.
Wow. Woman of many interests. So we had this beautiful woman last episode 44. If you guys haven't checked that out, you should listen to it. It's just really great insights on different topics that we talked about. So she like brought up a very, you know, interesting topic, and we talked about it. I really loved her response on that particular topic, and I'm gonna ask her some questions and see how you're gonna respond to that.
Pressure, wow.
No pressure. It shouldn't be better. Well. Yeah, it shouldn't be better than hers, but you know, just speak your mind. Mm-hmm. So what is feminism to you?
I think
first, are you a feminist?
I am a feminist.
Great. Take it away.
I am a feminist. And for me, feminism is not only about equality, about men and women having equal opportunity or rights. It's not only about that. It's also about, because if when you look at many systems that we have currently, they are designed for and by men, most of these systems. So if you're just telling me you want to bring equality with a system that have been brought up to sustain men, they wouldn't be necessarily sustainability.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that we not only dismantle the system, but we create new ones that both men and women can strive on those new systems. So for me, when I think about feminism, I think about being in a space where there are systems brought up and prepared for both men and women.
Yeah,
and whereby both people can strive in and can have equal opportunity. Yep.
Wow, I'm not gonna add anything to that. It's just perfect. So let's go through your journey and just give the people what they came to hear for, right?
So
for those who are first time listeners of the podcast, this is episode number 45, so that's like 44 episodes you're missing that. And you should know that this podcast is about, you know, living abroad. So we've had a lot of, you know, interesting people, you know, who talked about different things around living abroad. So if you're looking to, you know, move to a different country, or you're in a different country and you know, you're not get back to your country, this is the podcast for you. So Winnie has a very interesting journey on studying abroad.
Very.
And so, you know, as an African kid, you know, as a Tanzanian kid to be specific, it has always been in our, most of us, you know, and I can speak for me and my friends, and, you know, I can speak for the people that I've had say something. And it's always in our dreams, like, you know, I gotta go, you know, study in a different country. Yeah. Like, you feel like you've made it.
Yeah.
Like, even though you haven't made it, but you feel like,
yeah,
I've made it. So how was it for you before you actually started, you know?
Ah, well, okay, should I first mention where I've studied? Okay, so currently I'm in Kenya. I reside in Kenya, Nairobi. I'm studying at USIU. But before that, I studied in Johannesburg in South Africa. And then I also studied in the States, in New York specifically. So I have lived in both two places and now in Kenya. So kind of have
that's a like bit, two continents right there.
Yeah, kind of have a bit, a very small experiences here and there. Which
it's not small.
Well,
we're talking two continents, god damn it, two.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, so I'm a very normal, I was brought up as a very normal African kid, you know, like studying in Kayumba, going to school every day. Yeah, that's how, like, how normal it was. And for me, like, it was fine, I can say. Like, I didn't necessarily, because that's how normal was presented, so it was okay. I didn't complain, but, I mean, some part within me, I just knew I wanted something bigger. Every day, I just knew that I wanted to do something big. And I remember when I was in, I think it was standard 5 or 6, you know, those clubs that usually in primary school, Shoot and Roots, those clubs. Yeah. I remember I was in one of the club about, I think it was about HIV and AIDS or something. And I got involved only because there are visitors every day, like, you know, visitors are coming in and they'll talk about how it was different, like in most parts of the continent to, let's say, Europe. And that got me very interested. So I joined because of that. And so since back then, I was a very curious kid.
Very curious girl, yeah.
Yeah. And then in secondary school, I studied in Kisutu Girls. And I think that's where I met most of what, how can I say this? Like, most of the opportunities that I've gotten was from that school.
The girls' school.
Yeah. I am forever grateful. Studying at a normal, like, government girls' school. And especially it being in the center of the city, you know, there's so many things to know, to places to visit, and also people to meet. And when I was in school, I met with this woman. Her name was Caroline Karisima. She's from Uganda, but she resides currently in Tanzania. And she had this program for young girls teaching how to code, and I got interested only because of the word coding. I didn't know what was that, and I was like,
I don't know what you are, but I love you.
Exactly. I was like, that seemed interesting, so I joined, but I didn't know anything about coding. But I remember I joined just because I was like, something new, I should actually join.
That's right.
And then I joined, and since then, I have met so many powerful women, and I've made so many friends. I've been to so many places just because of that word coding. So every time I think about it, I'm like, sometimes it's good to be curious, to ask yourself, you know, what is this or what is
not? Just follow your intuition.
Exactly. Yeah. So my journey started there. Started at Kisutu Girls and then joined the coding club. Started learning how to code when I was 15. And I started my own venture. I remember that time I really was drawn into helping women in the community. I know you're very big in that. Like, you yourself.
Thank you,
So from there, I got somebody actually from this school, African Leadership Academy, reached out to me on Facebook.
They reached out to
they
you?
They reached out to me. I don't even know them. So they were like, hey, I see what you're doing in these corners. Do you mind checking this link out? And truth be told, I didn't.
I didn't.
That's the thing. And I didn't. Not
like,
only.
Like, what was going through your mind? Because it's Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And I know you're a cute girl, so it's Facebook.
I know, right? I was like, There must be some weird links this person is sending, this must be an
Indian.
I know.
You know the Indians in Facebook?
No offense, but yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I finally checked it out. I think it was 1 week to the deadline, and this guy kept texting me every day, did you apply? Did you apply? And I was, when I opened, I remember when I read the mission of the school, I was like, oh my God, this is where I belong. You know, like building young Africans, being in all one space, discussing about problem and challenges facing the continent and how to solve them. I was like, I need to be in this place. I was sold. So I knew I wanted to be there, and I applied, and I think the rest is history. I was very lucky to be chosen to go there. I think it was I was the first person from my school to go to that school. So that was very special.
Wow.
And then from there, everything escalated so quickly.
Yeah. It feels like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I know. It was. So everything.
So this was like when you were 15.
Yeah, this was now when I started the coding, when I started learning how to code, that was 15, 16. And then now when I went to school, that was high school. This was in 2015 after I finished my O-level at Kisutu. That's when in 2016, that's when I went to Joburg. So how old was I? I was barely 18, I think, 17. So now imagine a young girl.
Yeah.
moving out.
Yeah. Coming from Kisutu.
Exactly. Yeah. Coming from Kisutu, going to this place that I don't know anyone.
Yeah.
And kind of you're supposed to leave and take off yourself. Yeah. And kind of you are in this space where everybody is very opinionated. You know, people have so many opinions about Africa, about everything, in fact. Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself to?
It's very overwhelming. I can just imagine. Yeah. So let me just take you back to like, you know, you saw this link and this guy was like poking you, like, have you applied?
Yeah.
Then you applied, then you got lucky, and you got like, it's not luck. I don't believe in luck. I believe you like just put in the right words, and they chose you. Mm-hmm. So kudos for that.
Mm-hmm.
So when they chose you, that's email that you got, like, Winnie. You accepted.
I still remember that day. Yeah. I think because usually the school receive about 3,000 to 5,000 application every year, and they only take 100 people.
Out of 3K.
Yeah, like from all over Africa.
What did you write?
No, I think even now I want to remember it. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
What happened? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I remember when I opened the email.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. I thought I didn't know how to read suddenly.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I remember I had asked my sister, please, can you help me? Exactly. What does it say?
Yeah.
And it was our moment when, you know, when you want something so much that it hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've worked so much on it, and you just really want it to work. I think I was in that state, and I was like, if this doesn't work, I don't know what I'll do.
Yeah.
But I think it was only because I had fallen in love with the school mission, and I really wanted to be in a space where I was going to be challenged to my maximum capabilities. And I felt like where I was challenged, but it wasn't enough. And I'm always up to challenges. So I was like, why not?
Okay.
So yeah.
So this school, ALU.
ALA.
ALA.
Yes, African Leadership Academy.
African Leadership Academy, yeah. Mm-hmm. So so you're coming from Kisutu, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in that context, I believe you're from a family that is not very, you know,
exactly
privileged in the finance area.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, you know, studying abroad. It's it's expensive.
Very.
So how did that work?
So first of all, the school, I think the school fees currently at it might have changed, but at ALA they paid almost $36 36K per year.
Wow.
So you're studying for 2 years, you pay at least $65K, yeah, dollars. So that's about 70, how much?
That's supposed to be 72 though.
Or something. They might have changed, but it is ridiculously expensive.
That's very expensive. Are you kidding me? Yo, 35 G's.
It is. It's we're very talking expensive. Dollars. I know. It's Yo. Ridiculous expensive. Yeah. I didn't even know school was that expensive, yeah. first of all.
Until then.
I know. I was like, what? When I was yeah. applying, I think it didn't encounter to me to check about the finances. Yeah. Although I heard that you could earn a scholarship. And yeah. for me, that was enough. I was just like, oh, I can earn a scholarship. But yeah. I didn't, I was a kid. I didn't,
really put thought into it.
Yeah, thought
into
it until yeah. I actually got in and I was like, oh my gosh, they're finances.
This shit is paid for.
I know. So, but I remember the guy who reached out to me, he was very helpful. He helped me throughout. Yeah. And I managed to secure, I think, 98%.
Scholarship.
Wow. So I went to that school only paying 2%. So
wow.
Everything was paid.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is like peanuts, bro. Like 2%.
Yeah, it was very little actually. I when I was telling my parents, they couldn't even believe it. But they're also very skeptical. Yeah. Because who are these people paying this money?
You, yeah. And it's in and a different country.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was more of it was in South Africa. And I remember that time, you know, the xenophobic was going on. So
yeah.
it was very scary actually to go as a young girl.
Yeah.
But I remember I told my mom that I've looked them up on YouTube and everywhere. They're legit.
Did you do that?
No. For real though, I had yeah. because you know, seeing that they with such mission, I was so sure that many people would have gone to that school. So I started following the people who went to that school, and I've learned so much from them. So I was like, oh my gosh, I really want to be there. So yeah, that's what happened. So I went to school paying only 2% of the entire school fee. It was barely $1,000, I'm telling you.
Wow.
It was very little. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you talked about the mission of, you know, mm-hmm. the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was sometime back, I think it was in 2016 or something. Mm-hmm. I was literally deep into, you know, just things going around Africa.
Mm.
And I got hooked into the this forum that they have. It's called the World Economic Forums.
Yeah,
yeah. And normally they like have them yearly or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just listening to the forums, you know, different people talking about different, you know, things that happen in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more focused on things that happen in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And this one time, there was this guy. He has a bald head. I think he's one of the founders of
Fred Sonica.
Yeah, I don't know his name. But
yeah, his name.
I really liked his ideas. The guy was talking and he talked about, you know, introducing a school where, you know, different people from different areas and the way of learning, just the idea, you know, it literally got into me. When I say like, this is for the first time I had something great happen in Africa. And, you know, seeing you who got into the system, I just have a lot of questions. I don't know how to ask them.
I think, but, you know, actually you yourself said you're very interested. Why didn't you apply?
Well, with applications, I don't know.
Yeah, for real though. They're paying their ass. Yeah.
But I don't know, man.
I think talking about the guy, his name is Fred Sonica. The school has four founders. I think one of them is Fred Sonica, and he's a guy with his very big visions for Africa. And I think one of his biggest vision was to introduce or build a place where young people are going to get the education system, the quality education system, that it will help them to kind of climb up the ladders into the global world, you know, because most time we talk about, oh, going to school. Whenever you talk about, let's say, going studying universities in the state, people are saying, oh, I want to go to Harvard or I want to go to Yale. Those are only schools that people like talk to about, because they have bought themselves a name, and a lot of people go to those schools, one of the most elite schools. And I think that was his vision, but in Africa.
Yeah.
So he wanted to create something that people, first of all, you'll be proud going there, and understanding that, let's say, most donors who are going to donate, it's going to go on a good cause, because by the way, we are building up our own people. So that was his big idea. And currently, even ALA, it's known to be the Harvard of Africa for high school.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, it's a very interesting place. I usually call it. Most people actually call it as a country itself. Like when you go to ALA, you go to this country where there are leaders. However, not like these own countries where you have CGE presidents and leaders. People, they have titles for the sake of having titles.
Yeah.
The beauty thing I think about ALA is that anyone can be challenged. Even Fred Swanika, students challenge him. Students say, you said, we don't like 1, 2, 3. What are you going to do about it? Students are able to challenge their teachers. Students are able to bring forward like arguments and actually be listened to. So I feel like it's a place where most of African countries, the vision of most African countries to be, that's like a mini country or a mini version of what Africa is out to be.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you're not in Joburg. Everything is paid for except the 2% that you have to pay, right?
Uh-huh.
And what happened between starting in Joburg and going to the States?
Okay. So, like I said, hey, being the mini country it was, you know how we were presented with so many opportunities, but it was up for students to grab them. So I remember I was among one of the students who were chosen to become Bezos scholars. So you know Amazon guy, Jeff Bezos?
Yeah.
So his parents have this foundation called...
His parents?
Yeah, Jeff's parents. They're Mike. His dad's name is Mike Bezos. So they have this foundation called the Bezos Family Foundation. And usually they have different programs going on. And one of the programs is called the Bezos Scholars. So at ALA, usually every year, we go through massive application process and 5 students are chosen to become Bezos Scholars. So when you're Bezos Scholars now, you are in another kind of like another cycle. You enter into this new cycle of Bezos Scholars from Africa and also from the United States. So the other students who are in the United States also becomes Bezos Scholars. And then from there, you get to attend this conference called the Aspen Ideas Festival.
Okay, you're moving too fast. Slow down. That's not how we do it. So you applied for the Bezos, right? Like only 5 people were chosen.
Yes.
Out of how many people?
Out of every student who applies.
Who applied in ALU.
At ALA.
So it's just exclusive for people
ALA. Yeah.
ALA.
Yes.
Okay.
ALU, Harvard University.
Okay. Let's keep going. So you attended?
And then, when I attended the Aspen Ideas Festival, so... That is one of the global festival that happens in Aspen, Colorado every year, where...
That's America.
Yeah, in the States, where different business people, politicians, everyone, gather.
Just everybody associated with like Bezos.
No, not really. Everyone who is either a business person or politician or... Because the people who attend this festival usually are, for example, Bill Gates attends.
Wow.
So, yeah, Kamala Harris.
Wow.
So, yeah, those people. It's like...
Yo, give me a minute. Give me a minute. So you attended one of these festivals with these people.
Yeah. This was in 2017.
Wow.
Yeah. This was in 2017.
Can you like take a moment, like a minute to appreciate this?
Okay,
the minute is done.
I remember actually Kamala was there. Kamala Harris.
Wow.
That time she was not the VC. She was there. She attended that time. And it was when all these leaders meet up and discuss about the world issues. So just like the World Economic Forum now, they discuss about, let's say, climate change, human rights, and all these topics. And it is because it's in Aspen, you know, Aspen in Colorado, it's a very, how can I say, it's a very small, not small state, but it's a state that is isolated. Most people go there for fun. So usually the conference happens in these city, where the entire city, actually, the conference goes on in the entire city. So when you go to that city, everyone is for the that conference, for that particular time. For the whole week, the entire city is booked for the conference.
Wait a minute. What about the residents of the city?
So usually, where do they go? They are there, but like I said, the city is a, like Aspen is a leisure state. Oh. Usually people go there on holidays for skiing, to just like relax.
Vegas,
exactly. But
not the night.
Yeah.
Kind of
but
fun.
But like nature. Oh, yeah, okay. That's how it is. So the entire week there are a lot of leaders going on. So you see Secret Services people. Yeah. It's crazy. It's massive. And when you reach there, like there's so many, how can I say, like you could just feel the energy. Like you could be running around and you meet Bill Gates on the court. I'm just like what is
bro,
going
what's
on?
Up, bro?
I
know. Like, you're in these hoods too?
What? That's how it feels. I think till date, that was my best week of my life. Wow. It was one of the most amazing weeks because I got to attend all these sessions with all these people. Do you know Adam Grant? I think he's one of the Adam Grant. He wrote a lot of books about psychology of thinking. He's really amazing. I remember I attended one of his sessions, and for me, I was very young back then. Even I was like, I remember I was in a room with full of men, white old men, and I was the only young
little
black
girl,
kid. Yeah, and I was like, how did I get here?
Yeah, wow.
It was. I think that was my aha moment. That. Oh my God, it's happening. Like, actually, I have dreamt about this and here I am. Wow. So I remember I was very thrilled and happy. And after that week, we had to go back to Johannesburg and prepare something similar. Something similar, but in South Africa. So we prepared South Africans Ideas Festival, whereby we worked with different students from the Southern African part. So from Zimbabwe, we had students, and from Tanzania too. Actually, from East Africa, some from East Africa came too. They came to ALA, and
so this was organized by ALA.
Now, yeah, us the five people who attended the big festival. So now we came back and we prepared our own small festival to help, kind of like to help bringing up the conversation about a lot of issues that are happening. Yes. But that was for
which was inspired by the
exactly from the big festival.
How did that feel? You know, coming from this big festival and you among five people as opposed to, you know, do this big planning of, you know, gathering this a lot of youth from different parts of Africa.
I think it was a challenge, first of all, I can say, because, you know, me myself being not being from South Africa and having to work within South Africa and preparing a festival, you know, preparing a festival means you have to reach out to media people.
Yeah.
You have to reach out to, let's say, transportation companies. You have to reach out to hotels. There are so many things that I needed to do, and I felt very foreign to me. Yeah. Especially I was there. I was like, oh my gosh. So that means I needed to have guidance. We had a lot of guidance. We had counselors, we had consultation, but I remember we went to a lot of, let's say, we talked to radio stations to come and interview our students. So it was
more of a media tour. You went around and talked about the festival.
Yeah, and that was it was really, really nice. You know, I couldn't even imagine being here, let's say, in Tanzania and going to ITV or going to Wasafi Media, touring to these broadcasting companies. It was foreign, but it was exciting and it was scary. But I like the fact that I got to meet a lot of people, and surprisingly, most people thought I was from South Africa. And they would speak to me in Zulu. Somehow, I could hear Zulu. You could too. If you stayed there for a long time, you could hear it. I would understand, but I would respond back in English. And people would get so mad.
Yeah, like,
Yeah. Do you usually get that too? Like when you know when you're in a space for a long time,
yeah.
And you culturally adapt to the way of talking,
yeah.
And then people respect you to act a certain way, and yeah. if you don't, somehow they get mad.
Yeah, like, dude, like,
I know.
What do you think? Yeah. But I had a question before, mm-hmm. like you proceed with the story of, you know, mm-hmm. going to the States.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a compliment, not a question. So, you know, besides preparing, you know, all that, you know, talking to the media, you know, mm-hmm. catches and whatnot, you've been in this big festival. You had mm-hmm. to literally be careful, you know, to take in whatever it is that was, you know, brought up.
Mm.
For you to bring back and reflect what you've heard, because I'm thinking about, you know, my attention span is not very big. I'm thinking about, you know, a lot of my friends as well, you know, mm-hmm. we can't literally, like, you know, it's America and I'm in this city with a lot of, you know, big people, just, you know, great people from different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine myself, you know, going into different sessions and listening for me to and bring back, you know, yeah. some knowledge to Africa. I would imagine myself, you know, just going to talk to, you know, the blue guys on the side, you know, straight talk yeah, to best on the side. Yeah. So what, like, okay, now comes the question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What literally kept you, you know, to the cause?
I think when you are aware of the end goal that you have, wow. it's very easy to create systems to help you achieve the end goal. And talking about systems, I'm a very huge fan of creating system rather than if you want something to be done, you have to create a system to get it done, rather than just, let's say, I'm just going to do this one thing and then it happens. Of course, you might succeed, but things will become messy again because you didn't create a system to continue and sustain whatever you wanted to achieve. So I remember I was very keen on what I wanted, and I'm a very big journal person. I usually journal around. So I had this very big, huge planner that I'll always carry. And because, you know, there were about 100 sessions going on, sometimes 7 sessions going on at the same time. So you have to choose which one you wanted to go. Why do you want to go to those ones, right? And for me, I was like, which sessions I wanted to go. For example, if there was a session about climate change, and if there was another session about, let's say, youth and development, I would say I want to go to the youth and development one. Why? Because first of all, I'd want to meet whomever the person who wants to talk to there. Potentially, they could become even our speaker at our own festival. Wow. So those are the kind of things I had in mind. I had to be very intentional.
So you went knowing you're going back to, you know, plan a festival, yes, back home.
Yes, yes. That was the beauty of it. So I had my plan down on what I wanted, why I wanted it, and what things I should do to achieve that. So when I left the festival, I remember I had gotten a lot of, like, connection with the people that I wanted to meet. The people that I think if I reached out and say, hey, can you zoom in or can you fly to South Africa? They would do it. So kind of that's how I kept myself intact. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So from planning the festival to you know, going to the States.
Again. I think after the festival was done, I finished Form 6. And after I finished Form 6, I had applied to multiple schools in the States, I remember, and had gotten into few, and I was rejected to multiple.
With the Bezos scholarship?
No. Now the Bezos was just... Being a Bezos was just like being a scholar. So it was like being a Nyerere scholar. Oh. So it was a prestigious thing that you could put upon whatever your application you would want to do.
It's just like an exclusive club.
Yes.
That, you know, you get that title.
Like, exactly. Okay. And also you get not only like mentorship, we also got like personal counselors where they had worked with so many students in the States, actually all over the world, to help them with their college application. So I was very lucky to access one of that, and also having my own counselor at school. Wow. So I had like a very firm support from all these people, which was really nice. But I remember when I applied to school, I had gotten to some of the school, but I didn't have any scholarship. And it was like, 1,000 grand to study.
Wow.
And I was like, there's no way I could go and study there. So I think my dreams was like, in my mind, I was like,
you mean 100K?
Yeah, 100,000 to study.
Wow.
It could be more than that. Studying in the States for university is extremely expensive. Very expensive. I wonder even how they managed to have all these student debts
like and still they, function. Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, they start saving for college like way early.
Yeah, and it's a mentality that they have that we don't have here in most parts of Africa, especially in Tanzania.
Yeah.
You see, a mother cannot start saving when the child is like, from standard five.
Yeah.
Saving for college is not a thing.
Leave alone your standard five. Just, you know, even if you're in like form one or form six, I'm not going to save until it's like time for you to go to uni.
It's not
like,
a habit.
Oh, you're going to university. Where is the money?
Exactly. Which I feel like it's something that we should really learn. We should learn how to save for college. But most colleges in Tanzania, they're not that expensive.
Yeah, not that expensive.
I feel like that's why people relax a little bit.
Yeah, the relativity to that,
Very different the state. So I remember when I got in, I didn't have enough funds. I was like, I need to raise funds to go to school. At the same time when I was saying that, there was this opportunity that came in where there's a school in the States. It was a high school, actually. It's called, I think you know it, it's called Education First. It's a company, but they have schools around the world. So they have one in China, they have in Puerto Rico, they have in Africa, they have their schools in South Africa. It's like a language school, but they have like a formal high school in the States, in New York. They have in New York, and then they also have in Pasadena. So they were facing a challenge whereby the school was so big, they were not the student didn't feel connected or close, and they kind of they needed an external factor to come in and help the students for the school, the big school, to feel small, kind of have the sense of community. So they wanted to do that in New York campus. And I remember when that opportunity came in at ALA, they needed to have 4 students who can go there and study and intern full time to help the school management, to help to come up with various. Yes, so this school, they needed to have external factors to make sure that they have people who can come and help that big school have a sense of community. And I remember when the proposition came to ALA, they didn't necessarily tell us about it, but they just told us there was an opportunity to study / intern in the States for 1 year, and it's a full paid. They get to pay for your school fees, they get to give you like a place to sleep and everything. You just have to go there and work and / study. And I remember I had applied, but I wasn't so sure because I was like, I don't know what is this about.
Yeah. It like, okay, it was school / work. So the school part, they're gonna teach you things, right?
Yes.
So the working part is gonna like you're gonna be compensated by the education, although they're also like paying salaries.
No, they weren't paying because, you know, in order to be paid when you're in the States, there's so many laws that you needed to follow, especially let's say when you're a student, there are certain credits that you needed to have. You needed to be working on certain hours. So I think for us, it didn't work. That's why it was put as an internship, such that for it to interfere with the kind of visas we are in. Yeah. So that was what happened. And I remember 4 of us were chosen after, I don't know how long of application, but I wasn't so sure. I mean, I didn't have an idea how intense it was until I was on the last stage. That's when I was like, oh my God, this is a huge thing. I just thought it was just something small and only like 5 people applied, but it was about 20 in applications whereby the school board of directors and the school had to sit down and choose the 5 people. So I remember when they told me there was this opportunity, do you want to take it or do you want to go to study? And for me, I don't believe in systematics. I don't believe in from university, from high school, you have to go to university. From university, you have to go to work, or you have to do this. I believe it is whatever you make it. Like, if you know, everybody is on a different journey.
Yeah.
And when I heard about it, I was like, I think this is what I need, especially when I didn't know then what I wanted to study in college. So I was like, this is a perfect
opportunity for you.
Very perfect opportunity. So I remembered, I said yes. So I came back to Tanzania. I did all my visa application in here, paid for it, went to interviews, and then I flew in New York. I think this was in 2018. In September 2018, I went to New York for my first, not my first time, it was my first time in New York, but I had been to the States before. But I remember the feeling was very different because I was there to study / to intern.
You're there to stay.
Yeah, I was there. I wasn't there only for like 2 weeks. No, like I was there to stay.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my gosh. I remember when I reached, I remember, you know, those taxes we usually see in movies in New York. The funniest thing happened.
Yeah. What happened?
This was a culture shock for me. So you know how when you have Ubers here, let's say in Tanzania, I don't know, or even in Kenya, people can stay like in the front seat with the driver, yeah?
Yeah.
But it's actually like in the in those taxis, you're supposed to stay in the back.
You don't say.
You don't say.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it. So I remember I had called a taxi. I know actually... That was after I was from the airport. This was almost the second day when I was in New York. I had went to Grand Central because I had went to buy some stuff, you know, doing shopping in New York City. And I remember I called in the taxi and I went in the front seat. And then the guy looked at me weirdly. He was like, do you mind?
Like, dude.
And I promise
you.
Told
you mind?
Yeah. And then in my mind, I was like, I don't mind. And I kept sitting there. It was so bad.
What did the guy do?
I said, he just kept looking at me. Of course, we couldn't move until I went to the back seat. And I was like, oh. And then he had to tell me, you need to sit in the back. And I was like, oops, sorry. So then I went to sit in the back. That's a really funny story. I always tell my friends. It was so embarrassing. But I was just like, I didn't know
that. But it's not embarrassing. Like when you think about it, okay, it's embarrassing, yes, but you're not American.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was just like, it was funny. It was funny. Yeah. It was embarrassing at that point only when he was like, do you mind? And I was just like, I don't mind. And I kept going on my business.
Because like, even I remember on the previous episode, when girl talked about something very interesting, you know, she said in our country, Norway, normally people lull up their space and it's all about privacy there. And she said, you know, even in the buses, you know, these public buses, even when it's a two-seater and somebody's sitting on one side of the like the two-seater, somebody else comes in the bus, they're not gonna sit on the seat, they're gonna stand.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it so happened one of our friends who was like visiting from Kenya to you know, Norway, it was a four-seater and one lady was sitting. And the others were standing, you know. And the guy just, you know, got in and said, maybe these guys are standing. And then I like dropped from to the next stop. And he sat.
He sat. Oh,
and the lady
gosh.
Stood.
Oh.
I was like, what? Like somebody would find you sitting, like you'd find three people sitting on a two-seater TV. Like,
exactly.
What are you saying? Yeah.
That's a culture shock right there. That's exactly what happened to me. I was just like, dude, we like, used to this, you know. But the guy was really sweet about it. We kept laughing about it.
You kept talking about it with the guy.
Yeah, we talked about it and he laughed and I laughed. And I didn't know that, you know, there's a meter. There's a meter whereby it tells the rate. So the rate kept increasing. Like I think it was from $4 and it comes $8 as you go on the trip. And I advise anyone who, if you ever you go to New York and you're in like in the city, do not take the taxi. You rather just walk, you know,
you'd
because the street,
walk,
the streets are very close to each other. And in fact, you're gonna meet so many people walking around with their maps. I didn't know that. Like the second time I knew that, I would always walk around New York. I would never, I never took a bus or like any taxis. I would always walk around.
Wow.
That was really fun.
I would love to, you know, have you on and talk about a lot of different topics, but, you know, time is running out. And I would just love for you to to close with just simple, beautiful advice for anyone who is looking to, you know, go study abroad?
First of all, you have to be very intentional with what you want. You need to know what you want. That's what I always tell people. And then second, you might not get what you want necessarily per se, but if you get the next big thing, I'd advise you to go for it, especially if, let's say, it's a scholarship and it's a full paid. Let's say you wanted to do master's in public service, but there's an opportunity to do master's in MBA. I would say you go for it, because while you're there, it's easier. Once you are there, you understand things from within, so you can process your second master's if you want, rather than not taking the opportunity just because it's not something you really wanted. Moreover, I think learning is very beautiful. We learn every day. I don't think it's going to be a crime if you go and learn about something else first, and be patient with yourself. You know, we usually think that studying abroad, you have to apply one time and just you're going to get it. I had applied to 10 colleges. I got into 2 colleges. So it's about being consistent. Yeah, you have to be very consistent, and you have to keep it up, and every day just not do it once or twice and expect miracles to happen. So it's a tedious process, so you have to be very intentional about it. And also, you can reach out to even Jaiso, to this podcast. I am very sure all the guests that I have been here are very generous if they would reach out to people. I know for a fact if anyone wants any advice, I'll be around. They should actually.
Okay, I'm gonna let people show some love to you. Like, we're gonna link maybe your Instagram or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you like need any help on, you know, getting your mm-hmm. applications out mm-hmm. tight for mm-hmm. you to like get chosen, Wynn is there to help you. Yeah, guys. So this was it, and we're signing out. Ciao.